Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio. I'm your host, Rick McCann, founder and CEO of Private Officer International, as well as Armor College and a number of other successful businesses. This week, on this Monday, we are less than 48 hours from having a new president installed, the inauguration. And very cautiously and optimistically, we are watching to see what's going to happen after the inauguration of President-elect Joe Biden on the 20th of this month. Today, of course, is the 18th. And so as we watch and look toward the capital of the United States, we just don't know what the next 4 years is going to bring. We are happy many security precautions have been taken. We're happy that this will hopefully be a secure event. We are hopeful and praying that there will not be any further outbreaks of violence, attacks on law enforcement at the Capitol, or other more destructive incidents. And we will be watching and monitoring not only on the 20th, but for really quite some time. We have a lot to talk about today, as we always do, a lot of breaking news. We want to invite you to join us on the iHeartRadio Network. I know I have not mentioned that in a number of weeks, but we definitely want you to join us there on the iHeartRadio, along with all of the other sites where our radio programs are distributed to, any of the online radio apps, programs, and sites where you can get your podcast. Private Officer Radio is there. And of course, we're always available right here at Blog Talk Radio, where it's always streaming 24/7, waiting for you, whether you're off for a day and need to, you know, relax and you want to listen to the latest program, or you're looking for that information of the news, or you want to hear what the latest radio show is all about. We are here and streaming for you anytime, anywhere, right here on our own website, as well as Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, and almost any place, including at the Apple Store, that you can find your music or latest podcast. Of course, we are a little different than a normal podcast, as we broadcast live and have a much wider distribution, but we are always available wherever you are, whenever you're ready to listen. We're really excited about some upcoming news that we have to offer you. We talked leaned into a little bit last week about a brand new training coming called Command Staff College. We're going to be getting into that before the end of this program. We're also going to be talking about the security officers being attacked still right now, right this day, right this moment, right this week, right now during the new year, just trying to do their job by providing COVID enforcement. Another security officer attacked. We'll be telling you about that. I'm telling you, this situation here that happened at the Kroger's in Richmond, Virginia, was handled so perfectly by a professional security officer, also a Marine. We're going to talk about him. We're going to talk about facial recognition being used in the private security industry and so much more. So we're glad that you're with us, and we hope that you'll just kind of sit back and relax. We got some stuff to talk about. I'm telling you, it's not been an easy week. It's not been an easy year. And unfortunately, right now, we're seeing the same old from 2020, 2019, 2018, 2017. But there's good news. As we discussed in the last couple of radio programs, more than 1,000 security officers recognized for their heroics, for their bravery, for their life-saving skills in the last year. We've had hundreds and hundreds of security officers presented with awards from their own companies, several organizations, including Private Officer International, and much, much more. So there are good things and bad things, and it's always best to understand that nothing's going to be 100% good, nothing's going to be 100% bad, but if you can kind of put them together and have more good than more bad, then you're going to be good to go, as they say. So again, as you can see, a lot happening here. We have several things that we're going to ask you to do in this radio program, and we hope that you'll participate. Remember, if you're not already getting the Private Officer breaking news in your emails, go to our website at privateofficer.org and sign up today. They're absolutely free. You're only going to get an alert when something serious has happened, an officer down, an officer critically injured or involved in something serious. You'll also get occasional training opportunities and business opportunities, but we don't spam you, and we definitely don't dump a whole bunch of junk in your email. Remember, before signing up, if you're not looking for news, if you're not looking for the latest happenings in this industry, then you probably it's not the right email for you. Also, be sure that you go to one of our partners' websites today, Body Armor USA. We've got what it takes to protect you, no doubt about that. Whether you're looking for a protective vest, superior body armor, clothing, stab-resistant vest, protective gloves, and a whole lot more, check out Body Armor USA. And if you're interested in advertising with us, we have an all-inclusive advertisement program, which really doesn't cost a whole lot of money. Check us out online at privateofficer.org, or you can also contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We're coming right back. Do not go away. When you're listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector right here on the Private Officer Radio Network. Now don't go away, because we are coming right back when we've got a whole lot more right here on the Private Officer Beat Radio.
It's on us to stop sexual assault.
To get in the way before it happens.
To get a friend home safe.
And to not blame the victim.
It's on us.
To look out for each other.
To not look the other way.
It's on us. To stand up.
To step in.
To take responsibility.
It's on us. All of us.
To stop sexual assault.
Learn how and take the pledge at itsonus.com.
www.thefirstmanhomesafe.org.
My wife and I are spending more time on our computer.
It's so convenient.
Yeah, but there can be a downside.
Right, like buying fake drugs being sold over the internet.
Yeah, we learned the hard way.
At the emergency room.
Never buy prescription or over-the-counter drugs online from unknown or unlicensed sources, as they are often dangerous fakes. Counterfeits hurt, but you have the power to stop them. Go to www.ncpc.org/get real. Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the Bureau of Justice Assistance, U.S. Department of Justice.
One of the easiest ways for you to get involved with Private Officer International has nothing to do with money. Whether you're a member of the organization or not, you can join us on our Facebook page, Private Officer International. You can join us on Twitter at Private Officer. You can join us on Pinterest. That's where we post some of our pictures. And you can also participate in our free online training, as well as many other activities that are going on all the time. We've also, through the years, asked that you, whether you be in loss prevention, public safety, private security, or law enforcement, send us a quick email at helpdesk@privateofficer.com and let us know about news that might be happening in your area that our readers and members might be interested in. Also, let us know about any promotions, anything that you'd like for us to announce, not only on the radio program, but through our platforms, social media platforms, news platforms, and our organization's website. Contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We'll be glad to do that. Also, one of the things that we ask is that you, being in the field, send us pictures. We'd love to post your pictures on our social media sites, as well as our magazine and newsletters that we send out. Send us pictures of you on the job, things that are happening, events, incidents, training, anything of interest that we might really want to see. So helpdesk@privateofficer.com. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Good or bad, facial recognition is now coming into use by private security agencies. We've talked over the last 3 years on previous programs, in our news blog, media platforms, about the use of facial recognition by mall security, by retailers, by large corporations and others who use it to identify people that may not belong on the property, those who have been trespassed from the property, and those who may have criminal records or potentially be harmful to those at that business or on that property. There are software programs used to identify persons when they come onto the property and to run them through the internal system to see if they've been a problem on the property before, if they've been issued a trespass, if there's any known reason for them not to be there. If you go into some schools, Lobby Guard and other companies have software there that people are checked through systems to see if they are sexual predators. Are they on the sex registry? Have they been convicted of any felonies? And there's even software, facial recognition software, being used right now by private security officers that link them to the National Criminal Database for Wanted Persons. They don't have access to check every license plate or driver's license, but they can check to see if that person has any criminal outstanding warrants or wanted for any offense or on the sex registry, and that allows security to either detain them, surveil them, and notify police, or eject them completely off the property. Well, what do you think about this? Is this an area that private security really should get involved in? Is this something that private security is equipped to not only use, but to respond to? Because if you get a hit on a person who has a felony warrant, let's say kidnapping, rape, sexual assault, murder, robbery, and so on and so forth, really, what's an unarmed security officer going to do other than call 911? This is very powerful, yet very useful, and I have no problem with the use of facial recognition for criminal offenders whatsoever. And I know there's a lot of arguments about privacy. You know, some cities now have, including California, has limits on facial recognition. Some cities have disallowed law enforcement to use it for anything other than their detectives to solve very serious crimes. But I have no problem. I know that every place you go these days, there's a camera someplace, somewhere, somehow, someone is watching you. I have no problem with that, as long as they don't interfere with my true privacy. Where can a camera be? When can someone take a photo or video of you? Well, the law says any place that is visible to the public. If you are standing on a street corner, that's within the scope. If you are in the parking lot of a business, if you are in a business, that's within the scope of the law, unless that business asks you to leave. Unless you're trespassing, unless you have breached the security of that property, you have a right to video and to photograph. I know there's cameras every place, even those that you don't see, okay? In my area where we live on the East Coast, they have, and I'm sure on the West Coast as well, they have all kinds of cameras, traffic cameras, cameras when you are on every corner that record accidents. Everybody's got a camera on their phone, so I have no problem with it. Facial recognition is a powerful tool. My question to you, and I'd love for you to go on our social media at Facebook and Twitter. Contact us today at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Let us know what you think about facial recognition, not in and of itself, but as it pertains to the use of private security. Is private security really, really prepared to use this in all aspects? How about armed security officers? Should they have immediate access to facial recognition? Many, many places are using it. Just recently, a school, an elementary school and a high school began using it within their school system to recognize those potential violent people, wanted people, sex predators on the property. I think it's a good thing. What do you think? There are many police vehicles that are armed with facial recognition cameras and license plate readers on their vehicle. This is the other area that private security has gotten into over the last, I'd say, 7 or 8 years. I know of at least a half a dozen malls right now in the U.S. that use vehicle license plate readers on their vehicles. And these are not only tied into internal databases, but also the police databases. So in order to be tied into the true NCIC database, you have to have special permission from law enforcement and from the government, and you have to actually get a special PIN or ID recognition number. You have to go through a process, but it is available, and colleges, private colleges and public colleges also use this technology. So I want to know really what you think. Should private security have access to this? Contact us, helpdesk@privateofficer.com, or leave us a message on Facebook or Twitter. We've got a lot to talk about on this episode, including an extremely professional security officer who works for a private security agency currently at a Kroger store in Richmond, Virginia. He's handled numerous incidents with the utmost restraint, professionalism, and conduct that has garnered him now an award from our organization, as well as some props from some other folks. And when we come back from this upcoming break, we're going to talk about Nigel Norwood. Also, remember to listen to us on the iHeartRadio network and also download us any place where music or podcasts are available. You're listening to the Private Officer Beat Radio, and of course, guess what? We're coming right back in 2 minutes or less.
A crisis, everybody. Now, most of you have seen me wearing my signature mask on a plane. I love wearing it when I fly. I tend to get my own row 99% of the time. It's simple. Just wear the mask and cough. Because who wants to sit next to this guy? I don't blame you. And I went from being the only one on a plane wearing a mask to now everybody is doing it. Out in public, the park, at the mall, at the post office, with their girlfriend, with their husband, with their husband's girlfriend. We need to help our doctors, our nurses, and our healthcare workers who are fighting COVID-19 head on. And we need to make sure they don't acquire the virus. These frontliners have been running out of
personal protective equipment,
PPE. People have asked me, Kayvon, are you down with PPE? Are you down with PPE? Are you down with PPE? I'm like, yeah. You know me. Yeah, you know me. The CDC has been forced to downgrade the need for N95 masks, the surgical masks, now down to bandanas because of a lack of supplies. Does this seem like a good idea to you? Hi, I'm your doctor. I'm also here to rob your bank. Bandanas? Scarves? What kind of PPE is that? One more. This is one of the easiest ways you can be a hero. So if you're a healthcare provider in need, or if you have supplies you can donate, there are a lot of groups leading the effort. Start with the PPE Coalition. They're a great resource, and they can get you pointed in the right direction. So there you have it. Be a hero, make a donation, and help a frontline healthcare professional. After all, their health right now is in your hands. And while you're at it, wash those too. If you don't, you're disgusting.
If you're not already receiving breaking news and our bi-weekly newsletter, Officer Don reports, and discount training news in your personal or business email, then go to our website right now at privateofficer.org. Privateofficer.org. A Dropbox will come down. Just fill out your info. And you'll be the first, one of the first, for sure, to know about what's happening in the security industry. You'll know when a security officer is killed. You'll also get these great discounts on training and equipment and so much more. PrivateOfficer.org. And if you're not already a member of the Private Officer International Association, sign up while you're there today. Become a lifetime member for just $99. And we'll also include a free Private Officer International patch and lapel pin. If you are already a member, that's great. And we appreciate you. We'd like for you to spread the news and tell your coworkers, employees, and others in the industry about the Private Officer Group and how they can become a member and enjoy more than 40 member benefits.
And cursing at a security guard at a Kroger in Richmond while they wear no mask. Thanks for joining us. I'm Juan Condi.
And I'm Constance Jones. 8 News reporter Ben Dennis talked with that security guard about the shocking video. He joins us live with more tonight. Ben.
That's right, Juan and Constance. Tonight we got our hands on two videos taken inside this Kroger in Richmond on Lombardi Street. The most recent incident in question happened just 2 days ago. You can see the security guard is yelled at and cursed at by a shopper who is not wearing a face mask.
Oh, shut up.
Escorted out twice this year, the same shopper shouted expletives at a security guard inside this Richmond Kroger.
Just flipped out, started calling me B-words.
Nigel Norwood is the private security guard seen here. He says back in May, this person was causing a disturbance inside the store, yelling and cursing, prompting him to ask them to leave and not return.
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to ask you to leave the store, okay?
Okay. Right. Don't do it again.
Okay.
You start with the suspect, you're going to prison. I'm going to death throw your
through it all, Norwood remains calm, even when the shopper returned just 2 days ago.
You won't be okay, punk.
Yes. I understand, sir.
It's up to you to carry it in the most professional way possible, especially when you're representing the company and when you're representing a business that's been around for a very long time, who entrusting you to keep the store secure.
Norwood decided to record both incidents. Seen here on Wednesday, he handed off his phone to a friend who happened to be there because he says he didn't know what may happen next.
I made sure that the camera was rolling because I already knew that the approach and the response that I was going to get wasn't going to go my way. If it did go right, then, you know, the footage would not be out.
Even once they made it outside, both times, the yells and expletives continued. And a floor supervisor inside Kroger tonight tells us that this person was put on a trespassing list after that first incident back in May. Typically, behavior does not rise to the level of having to be on that list, but this one was clearly an exception. And the security guard, who is also a U.S. Marine, says he's thankful this did not escalate into anything further. In Richmond, Ben Dennis, 8 News.
All right.
Thank you for coming right back. And we are right here with you. Are you involved in loss prevention, asset protection? Are you involved in organized retail crime called ORC? Are you involved in the supply chain or vendor security? Are you involved in loss control? Well, if you are, I've got great, great news for you. We here at Private Officer International and our sister company, Armor College, has for a number of years been training LP agents, management teams, and others. But right now, we have got four reduced tuition retail security programs on the Armor College platform that we're offering at a low, low reduced tuition from $595, now just $199. For a limited time. You can take one of four different specialized programs. These are 15-week online programs, but there's so much more. First, let me tell you what they are. We have a loss prevention asset protection agent program. These are loss prevention detectives that work normal retail security, surveillance of shoplifters and employees. They handle a lot of cases. They are also sometimes involved in check fraud, bad checks, credit card fraud. This program is 15 weeks. It is packed full of information, including some ORC stuff. Course number two, specifically designed curriculum written for ORC investigators who work internally or possibly even for private companies or themselves, investigating nothing but organized retail crime that involves not only theft of property, but check scams, credit card scams, ID scams, and a whole lot more. This also is packed with more information than probably you'll ever use. Course number three is the Loss Prevention Asset Protection Management Program. It combines the first two programs that I just spoke about and includes that part about being either a district or a regional manager, a DM or an RM, in any type of big box store or any company that has LP departments. And last but not least, we have the supply chain vendor retail security / loss control program. This really deals with a different aspect of loss control. When we talk about the supply chain and the vendor area of security, we're talking about where those products are manufactured, where they come from. We're talking about the manufacturing to the retail, to the vendor. There's a whole line, a lot of hands that handle our goods, our merchandise, before we actually buy it in the store. So that's what this program covers. If you are in the LP, ORC, or supervision of loss control, you don't want to miss this spectacular offer. Normal tuition, $5.95 per course, We're offering it right now for $199. And now, here's another aspect that is unbelievable. And this is not, well, but wait, there's more. No, we don't do that. But additionally, we're going to give you, at no additional cost, a six-week online course on retail and physical security business ownership and entrepreneurship. It's absolutely free to the first folks who register for the class. That means if you're interested in not working for someone, but being your own boss, we're going to show you not only the overall how-to, but we're going to drill it down to the retail security loss prevention field and how that differs from other types of businesses that you might want to own. Don't delay. If it's not for you, be sure that you pass it on to somebody else. Go to armor.com/specials for more information. armorcollege.org/specials today for more information. You're not going to want to miss this super spectacular offering. I told you a few moments ago about Officer Nigel Norwood. He was on duty stationed at a Richmond, Virginia Kroger. He works for Security Solutions Group and Investigative Services, headquartered out of North Carolina. For the second time in less than a year, Officer Norwood, while on duty, was confronted by a person not wearing a mask, no facial covering, and who refused to comply at first. Officer Norwood did not get upset. He did not get loud. There's a video that was filmed by a friend of Officer Norwood who just happened to be in the store of Officer Norwood dealing with this person who threatened him, called him the N-word and other words, trying to ruffle his feathers and get him to do something that he shouldn't have. But no, Officer Nigel Norwood, a Marine, that explains a lot right there, was cool, calm, and collective. If you want to see that video, you can go to our website, go to our social media site, and it's kind of unbelievable how cool and collective and restrained he was, professional. He never raised his voice once. He asked him, the gentleman, to leave the store. The incident last year, the gentleman was actually dressed as a woman, but Officer Norwood, again, kept his cool, calm demeanor, de-escalating that whole situation. Now, he could have been one of those people who was loud, who was aggressive, authoritative. Hey, get the out of this store. I'm not telling you more. I'm not telling you again. I'm going to tase you. He could have escalated, not de-escalated the situation. But Officer Norwood, you got to see the video, folks. See the video either on our site or go online and search out Officer Nigel Norwood. He was so cool, calm, and collective. I am so happy to tell you we have contacted his company. We plan on doing a face-to-face with him. We're going to be presenting him with an award. But more than that, I'm going to try and entice him to do a whole course on restraint, professionalism, and de-escalation. I'm telling you, this was just, it was unlike many others would have responded. It goes to show the people that we really do have working in the private security industry. They're not all that stereotype that we see in the movies. If you know somebody who needs to be recognized, someone who needs to be awarded, someone who needs a shout out, contact us, helpdesk@privateofficer.com, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We want to award people. We want to recognize people. And by the way, Mr. Norwood receives a free lifetime membership from POI and $300 of free tuition toward any course at Armor College. Those are some of the benefits of being recognized through our organizations. Contact us if you know someone who needs to be recognized. We'll be right back after this message.
A crisis, everybody. Now, most of you have seen me wearing my signature mask on a plane. I love wearing it when I fly. I tend to get my own row 99% of the time. It's simple. Just wear the mask and cough. Because who wants to sit next to this guy? I don't blame you. And I went from being the only one...
When I was a gang leader, we probably did business together. Because when people like you buy knockoffs on the street, often the money goes to gangs. And gangs use this easy money for other activities. In other words, they're getting a lot of bang for their buck.
Counterfeits hurt, but you have the power to stop them. Go to www.ncpc.org/get real. A message from the National Crime Prevention Council and the Bureau of Justice Assistance, U.S. Department of Justice.
It's a very simple thing. It only takes 2 seconds. We all know we should do it. We all say we do it. But do we? About 35,000 people were killed in motor vehicle accidents last year. More than half were not wearing a seatbelt. A brother, a father, a mother, a best friend. Is it worth it? I lost a sister. Don't let it happen to you and your family. Tell the people you love to buckle up.
No matter if you live in Alabama, Texas, Maine, New York, Canada, or Germany, we got a brand new radio show coming out on a new platform, BuzzFeed. We have a brand new show hosting February 1 on that platform, as well as on the iHeartRadio. It's called Gulfside, where we talk about everything, news, what's happening, upcoming events along the Gulf Coast of Alabama, Mississippi, Florida, Louisiana, and Texas. It's a very special show that we've actually been working on for a number of months, along with some other projects in the works. If you'd love hearing about what's happening in other parts of the country or things and places that you'd like to do, things that you might want to take advantage of, learn about, the beautiful areas to visit, vacation, then you'll want to listen to our brand new radio show coming up in early February called The Gulf Side, all about the Gulf Coast living on BuzzFeed and iHeartRadio. Contact us for more information, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Command Staff College. If you've ever been in law enforcement or the military, you know generally that this is a high-level training opportunity. Only the best are picked. Only those with supreme backgrounds in their profession. Generally, only senior officers, commanders, police chiefs, sheriffs, and others in the upper echelon of law enforcement or the military are invited to join the Special Command Staff College training. Now, Private Officer International Armor College, a sheriff's organization, and another school are teaming up to bring you, the professional security officer, school campus officer, private law enforcement officer, whether you're on the front line or you're in the office, we've got something very special that will be introduced next month, and it's going to be of the highest level of training. We're talking about almost a year of online training and practicals to reach this ultimate diploma. Command Staff College has been around for quite some time, but now we're bringing it down to the more affordable, obtainable level for private professionals. Command Staff College, be looking for more information coming up soon. Armed protests are underway. Back to armed protests this week of the inauguration and probably beyond, will be everywhere. According to the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the FBI, they have intel that says that federal buildings will be under attack, that armed protests are going to be at courthouses and other government facilities. So far, in the last 72 hours, three people arrested for weapon charges and one for explosives on federal building property. So this may or may not come to reality, to fruition, but right now we're keeping an eye out. If you work at a federal building, a courthouse, or even your local government building, be on high alert because we don't know what to expect. They weren't expecting what happened in D.C. to happen, but it did. It did. We, in our program last week, we ended with some audio from another radio show. Cover Now, an organization, and Blue Lives Matter, their organizations for law enforcement. And one of the things that was different about Cover Now was that they really geared their programs to those that are injured, not so much as those killed in the line of duty like other organizations. Now, Private Officer International has had a benevolent program since the beginning, and we're only as good as you help us to be. We cannot produce money. We can't just copy off thousands of dollars from our printer. We need you to support us, to you know, really stand behind us, have our six, have our back. Cover Now has a program similar to what we are doing here at POI to expand our current programs to support those who are injured. One of the things that the radio show last week alluded to was that police officers injured on the job are not supported through the Public Safety Foundation, which is a national part of the U.S. Department of Justice that supports families of officers killed in the line of duty. Instead, officers injured on the job are often ferried over to the workers' comp system. Just like any employee injured on the job, any type of job, whether you be at Home Depot, Walmart, law enforcement, fire department, whatever, it all goes through workers' comp. There's only one state in the whole U.S. that does not require employers to have workers' compensation. Do you know which state that is? Extra points. Extra points if you do. All right, I'll tell you. Texas. Texas is the only U.S. state that does not, it just doesn't require any employer to have workers' comp. So police officers injured in the line of duty do not get payouts for their injuries from the police department unless they file for early retirement due to job-related injury. But an officer just injured and out of work on recuperation, their medical bills and their time off is paid according to that state's statutes on workers' comp. They, police officers, and our security officers and private police have to deal with a public system that is not fair and often discriminates based on whether or not they believe that injury was truly work-related. As a business owner, and I know many of you listening today are business owners, you understand how the system works. Sometimes you can find ways to deny that claim. Work with your insurer, and they will deny the claim. Right now at POI, we're working to increase and find other ways to help injured security officers. When you have thousands of security officers annually who are injured, and tens of thousands who are assaulted, and 130, 40, 50 who died this past year, almost 350 security officers dead on duty, that's substantial. If you have any interest in helping and being on the committee that's researching ways that we can strengthen our benevolent services, contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Remember, we can't help everyone, so we help our members first and then the rest of the security community. Now, most employers should have workers' comp, but unfortunately, not all do. We have worked in the past with several organizations to try and chain together a legal system. And that may still be a reality where we have to hire a strong attorney network to represent security officers who are injured on the job and not compensated fairly. When we come back from this quick break, we're going to be talking about sweeping change recommendations to the security industry and how I am involved. And I'm probably not going to be the most popular guy once this gets out, but I feel strongly about it. And I'll tell you what it is. You're listening to the Private Officer Beat Radio, and we'll be right back.
Can we be real for a minute? I'm a high school math teacher, and I'm a firefighter.
Man, we're going to have you out in just a minute, okay?
I'm a designer.
I'm a retired VP in business.
And I'm a student.
I'm a mother.
I'm a business analyst, and I'm a volunteer firefighter.
You thought we just fought fire?
Firefighters get trained to do so many things.
Right here. Be sharp.
What we do is serious business.
Three quarters of the nation's first responders are volunteers. That includes here in Connecticut. And lately, it's been harder than ever with fewer citizens volunteering.
From teenage cadets like me
to seasoned veterans like me.
So what are you waiting for?
You ready to make a difference?
Ready to join our team?
Your community needs you. We need you. Visit everydayherocc.org or stop by your local firehouse today and take the first step of joining your fire department.
Welcome back. A moment ago, I said the new radio show would be coming out on BuzzFeed Radio. That is incorrect. Actually, it's Buzzsprout. Buzzsprout. Sorry about that. There is a BuzzFeed. I don't know much about that platform. I believe it's some type of news and information website. But this is Buzzsprout, as well as we're going to be on the iHeartRadio. Remember, you can get our program downloaded anytime on the app. Go to our site, either at Blog Talk Radio, or contact us on our Private Officer website. You can also download at any place where you can get your podcast or music, including the Apple Store and other locations. Well, we have had quite the day already. We said just before going to the break that we're going to be proposing some sweeping changes that probably will get us in trouble with many security company owners, big and small. But one of the downsides of having an organization like Private Officer International over the last 17 years has been that because we do have a full-time news staff, because we are very much on top of the news night and day, we see all the good and the bad in not only private security, but law enforcement, public safety, loss prevention, private police, bail bonds, the whole gamut of professions involved in trying to protect and serve. And over the years, we've continued to notice, record, speak about, publicize the thousands and tens of thousands of security officers who are injured or killed in the line of duty. I don't have the figures in front of me, but I know in the death column in the last 17 years, it's been horrendous. We've seen, besides the COVID in the last year, we've seen the increase of violence and homicides. I mean, almost 50 homicides last year, during a year when business was down, businesses were closed, many security officers were not even on duty, on post, in place, and yet we still have 50 murders. That was more murders than of security officers than of law enforcement, and it's not changing anytime soon. We need sweeping changes in our industry, and it's not going to be a comfortable conversation to have with many companies who still believe that a body in a uniform is just all that we need. The fact is, and we've done very in-depth cooperative studies with other groups to see that unarmed security officers, single post security officers, are often victims. While they are there to protect, while they are there to protect others, they can hardly protect themselves, and that's just the truth of the matter. Oftentimes, unarmed security officers have no backup. It's a single post, a single assignment. They often have no communications other than their cell phone to call for help. And as I've said many, many times, I want to say thousands, it seems like millions of times, when you're in battle, think about it. You're fighting for your life. Somebody's attacking you. Can you really say, whoa, buddy, I haven't had time to call 911. Give me a minute here. Let me give him a call. Let me holler and get some backup. That ain't reality. It's not going to happen. Unarmed, alone, no communications, no backup, no time to call anyone or do anything when someone's attacking you. On my last program last week, I told you about at least three people during 2020 that was violently attacked, killed, murdered. One or two or three doesn't seem like a lot in the scheme of things, you say. But that's not one or two or three. We're talking about 50 murders of security officers in 1 year. Again, I don't have the figures in front of me, but I will gamble. I venture to say in the 17 years that we have been doing this, well over 1,200 security officers have been murdered. In fact, on an average, 50 to 75% of all security officers who die on duty is from murder, aggravated assault. Very few are involved in fatal car accidents because security officers don't drive as much. They do drive, they do patrol, but not as much as a normal police officer. So it is almost impossible today for security officers to protect themselves. Very few are going to go learn boxing, you know, any type of self-defense techniques on their own. Very few are going to go to the range on a weekly, monthly, or you know, yearly basis. They're only going to go to qualify. I'm guilty. I'm not even going to pretend like I'm not. I am. I'm very busy. But as a law enforcement officer, a security business professional, somebody who's in public safety for as long as I have been, I know that we've got to go out to the range at least three times a year. It should be every few months. But we've got to be on our game when something happens. I was going to say something else. But when something happens, when we're confronted with deadly, fatal, lethal use of force, we've got to be able to defend ourselves. When we're attacked, we can't be defenseless. The proposed sweeping changes will recommend a substantial increase in use of force training. This not only includes defending ourselves, but how and when to use defensive tactics less lethal or lethal against a suspect, offender, or other person. We have seen too many times, in fact, just this week, a school security officer arrested for pulling a student out of a chair because he would not hand over his cell phone and throwing him on the floor and grabbing him up and, you know, dragging him across the floor to the principal's office. That's not how you do it, folks. That's illegal. It's called assault. And if you're in a position of authority, like at a school, that's an additional charge in most states. Was that security officer properly trained? Who knows? The other issue that we're seeing is that many security officers who are felons, violent people themselves, are being allowed to work in security in unregulated states and communities as bouncers and uniform security. Every year, the number of security officer arrests continue to climb. And this is a secret in the industry because nobody wants to acknowledge we've got problems, but we do. And any time that anyone is classified as a security officer, gets arrested for doing something stupid, we're going to be the ones who's going to be associated with that arrest, just like law enforcement. When there's negative involvement with a police officer who does something he should not have done and he gets arrested, everybody in that profession gets categorized as the same kind of officer when that's not true. There are hundreds and thousands of high-quality private security personnel out there, but a few bad apples who are not trained, most of the time not licensed, make the media. They make the headlines. And with social media and with the way that the news media outlets repost, one little thing happens in your small community, it's going to make national news before the day is over. With my proposed sweeping change will come a recommendation that all proprietary security officers, including nightclubs, bouncers, whatever they want to call themselves, anyone working in a capacity where they're enforcing regulations, security protocols, law, they have to be licensed. They have to be trained. They have to go through a background check. That's just common sense. We're in a different day and time. We can't afford as an industry or as a business to allow these people to be in our employment, period. I believe in a second chance. I really do. But there are certain professions where you can't have certain people. So three things that I'm going to be asking our state legislators across the country, along with several other groups. Number one, everyone who has any type of involvement with enforcement, security regulations, any type of title that even sounds like it might be security, that they'd be licensed, whether they work for one location, one company, proprietary, or for a contract security officer company. Number two, that the use of force be a minimum of 40 hours. Our training needs to be increased, not decreased, as what's happened in recent years. What's happening across the nation right now, people are calling for more communication, specialized communication, de-escalation training, force training for law enforcement. And that's exactly what private security needs as they take on more and more responsibilities and more job training that is mirrors and so similar to that of law enforcement. I know it costs money, but I want to tell you something and remember this phrase, cost versus life. There's no question which one should rule, which one is most important. We can put all these unarmed, untrained, unverified, no background people on the job. That's fine if that's what you want to do, just to save a couple of dollars. But is a life really worth that? If you don't agree with me, if you don't join my way of thinking, if you don't understand the necessity for this, I'm sorry. That's confusing and sad in my book. A medical profession is a good parallel to what we're talking about in the change that needs to happen. You see, up until just the last 20 years, you know, or so, many nurse assistants, other professionals in the medical field weren't regulated and they didn't have a lot of training, but they were there. They were kind of like, doing the best they can with what they had. But now they're more standardized. Even the person who changes out the bedpan, the nurse's assistant, they go through 140, 160 hours of training. EMTs, paramedics, paraprofessionals go through hundreds and hundreds of hours of training. The person who draws the blood at the hospital, who's not a nurse, the phlebotomist, she goes through at least 120 plus hours. We've got to understand that security is not security of years ago. We have harped and hollered. We have preached. We have screamed. We have talked. We have done everything that we possibly can do to get this message out. But until you join the bandwagon, until you understand the importance of not letting everyone into the profession, overseeing the profession, making sure that there's strict training guidelines, rules, regulations, and that they're enforced, and get on the bandwagon, contact your regulatory agency in your state. Make sure that nightclub bouncers and proprietary people have to go through some type of training, and that does include loss prevention. Many states, there's no requirement for LP agents. I believe they should also have some critical training, including use of force, de-escalation, communications, and how to defend themselves, because they are very much on the front line. They're making more than 1.5 million contacts a year of felons, offenders, shoplifters, people who don't want to be arrested, people who don't want to go to prison. If you want to help us to get this to become a national standard, if you believe in what we're saying, please contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Trust me, as our environment continues to change, we're seeing more and more private security officers used as police officers. They're patrolling. They're responding to complaints. They're confronting suspects, and they're doing the things that security officers never used to do. They're doing what equates to law enforcement duties. I'm all for that, as long as they're properly trained and vetted, licensed, regulated, and supervised. That's a big part of that equation, supervised. So many companies don't do a very good job of tracking their employees, and then when something happens, it goes, oh, I don't know why he did that. I don't know what possessed him to do that. Well, yeah, you do. Poor training. Poor background check, poor supervision. Contact us, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Remember to stay on top of our daily news blog. Go to privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. privateofficernews.blogspot.com. And download our radio shows, even those way back when, even those 15 years ago, you can still find today at Blog Talk Radio. And, of course, download us, listen to us on the iHeartRadio Network and our new show, Golf Side, talking about the Gulf Coast, on BuzzFeed Radio and wherever you can download your radio shows, music, and podcasts. Thanks for joining us again on this segment, this episode of the Private Officer Beat Radio. I really hope that the information that we give out really helps you. And please, if you're not a member, go to privateofficer.org, join up today, 40-plus member benefits, and so much more. Until the next time, be safe, be blessed, and we'll see you back here on the radio.